As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
1, 2, 3.
I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we're going to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. And Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. We're going to be talking about some entrenched assumptions and what that may mean to health. Also, we're going to be talking about diet versus drugs, a little bit of stuff there. And then if we get enough time, we might check your cancer risk. And we have a crack report before we get to all that great stuff. Big salute and Semper Fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm seeking the Lord's face, and I'm hitting the knees. Hope you are too. And we're in Ephesians 6 today, and it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And yeah, the whole armor. The breastplate of righteousness. Gird yourself in truth. Shod your feet in the gospel of peace. Have shield of faith that squelches the fiery darts of evil, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, and the helmet of salvation. That's what you put on. to deal with this corrupt, crazy world. And I pray each and every one of you do that and seek the Lord's face in mind of time as it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker. This was crazy. This is a report on mobile technology transforming, of course, the way we live, but also transforming us physically. This was research in biomechanics. It suggested that people that use cell phones are developing a horn-like spike in the back of their skull. So it's like a bone spur. And they said it's caused also with a forward tilt of the head, which shifts the weight from the spine to the muscles in the back of the head, causing bone growth in the connecting tendons and ligaments. Ooh. So the weight will transfer, causes this buildup to be compared to the way, you know, skin gets thicker and callous with response to pressure and abrasion. They say think of it that way. So when they do x-rays, they see this hook or horn-like feature jutting out from the skull just above the neck. Isn't that creepy? This was at a University of Sunshine Coast in Queensland, Australia. This is what they're reporting on that. Mobile technology giving you horns. What's next? Moving along in the quacker. Some foods trap electromagnetic radiation in them when you microwave them. Scientists discover this. Microwaving a couple of grapes. That's right. Science used to believe that the phenomenon when they put, when they cut a grape in half and stick it in the microwave, it would just kind of, you know, explode on fire, you know. They believe this phenomenon took place, they once thought, because there was a piece of skin maybe holding the two parts together of the grape that acted like an electron conductor. But new research has uncovered it's a completely different thing. This was a study by researchers out of Trent University in Canada. They got published in the Proceedings of National Academy of Science, and they found that this phenomenon actually occurs when you microwave, when the microwave radiation gets trapped inside the cavities of the grape itself. So they replicated the experiment many times. They also tried it on gooseberries, blackberries, quail eggs, anything grape-sized and shaped in, around. And if they had enough water inside, that would create a fiery effect when it's heated by a microwave. So, this kind of makes you wonder, is the microwave radiation being trapped in other foods that get heated up and you eat? I would say that's probably the case. What do you think, Frank? I know that microwave popcorn is very toxic. People use that. Last but not least in the quacker, eating eggs several times a week can be a good thing if you got diabetes. I say Harvard researchers weighed in on the question whether if you consume eggs, will you develop diabetes, especially type 2 diabetes? Are eggs off the table for you? Well, they studied 220,000 individuals in the United States, Japan, Finland, Spain, and France that kind of volunteered to be in the study. Close to 9,000 of the people already had type 2 diabetes, but they also had healthy people that were not diabetic participating in this study. And they did the study, and they tracked these people eating a number of eggs each week for 20 years. Okay. Harvard Clinical and Translational Science Center conducted the study and then concluded that eating less than 4 eggs each week did not seem to be connected to a higher risk of type 2 diabetes as previously thought. So, eggs are good. Yeah, I like them. And that wraps the quack report. Thank you, Frank. All right, so we're going to be talking about these assumptions that people make. People make assumptions a lot. And so sometimes if they're made a lot, they become entrenched So the segment's going to be called Entrenched Assumptions. And when we learn things in many ways, you know, we learn through observation and testing and through history, things that are passed down through generations, all that knowledge, that kind of thing. And humans like to explore and also push the limits. However, when we get it wrong, we need to set the record straight. So information is coming out that we got it wrong on scientific theories such as carbon dating, microwave cooking, and in many instances, the use of many drug therapies. So we have a real problem with what culturally is known as, quote, entrenched assumptions within science. So these can skew research when it is, you know, based on previous assumptions that are inaccurate. And we now know that for over a decade, there have been drug study upon drug study that was wrong because it was based on previous assumptions. So the word assume, let's just look at that a minute. The word assume is defined as to take for granted, to usurp, to suppose or pretend, to theorize or guess, or to be hypothetical. And it makes you kind of wonder about the newest technology that uses EMF radiation, doesn't it? Cell phones and smart meters, that kind of thing. So we're going to take a look at some of these classic assumptions and see what we find. Let's look at first some stem cell therapy. You hear all kind of reports on this. I even hear in our area here in North Carolina advertisements on radio for these new stem cell therapy centers, clinics that have gone up. Florida State University published some findings June 20th, 2019, that research theory on stem cells got it wrong. It was assumed that stem cells or embryonic stem cells had a certain progression that would be unaltered as it became a fixed lineage cell or an endoderm stage cell into like a specific cell type. It would mature and grow into, let's say, a liver cell. Okay. So in other words, science asserted that stem cells remained flexible, plastic, and malleable structures. But they don't. So scientists presume that a stem cell getting to the endoderm stage took time, as much time as a full cell cycle. That was wrong. That turned out to be wrong. The stem cells can become the full-fledged mature specific cells. They need to be quickly, within a few hours. So when stem cells enter this endoderm cell stage, they have also a specific cell program in the nuclei. So it's almost like a program of how this cell is supposed to behave. Here is a quote from David Gilbert, professor of molecule biology, Florida State University, Department of Biological Science. He says, "It turns out the assumptions made were misguided. There wasn't only entrenched assumptions of long-believed cell organization of chromosomes in the nucleus that we found to be wrong. Organized DNA chromosomes architecture and cell replication timing were also inaccurate." So Professor Gilbert and his researchers went on to challenge other stem cell assumptions. And so all this makes you kind of wonder about the gene editing therapies that are also out there now, right? What is based on faulty assumptions in science? You have to ask yourself this. So these findings, with Dr. Gilbert and others, were published in the journal Stem Cell Reports. He goes on to say, "Our new findings raise critical questions about the basic nature of stem cells and the barriers of turning one cell into another," end of quote. So a little pause of caution there, Dr. Gilbert. Well, let's move on. What other assumptions? Let's look at this light source assumption. In January 2017, researchers in the physics department discovered that their long-held assumption regarding electromagnetic radiation needed to be challenged. So in a nutshell, they discovered a new relationship between bandwidth, current, and emitted radiation. They discovered they could accomplish a narrow bandwidth radiation with a high frequency without oscillating the current bandwidth. So it allows for electromagnetic radiation to go where previously it was not possible. Sort of like Star Trek, go where no man has gone before. So their research enables them to now embed or bury oscillating current sources in common media. So they can include this in plasma, semiconductors, and photonic structures that have a cutoff. So this new discovery is going to lead to the use of electromagnetic radiation from a different viewpoint. So their research did get published in Scientific Reports, according to one of the researchers, Dino, pardon me as I just, you know, just carve up his name. His last name's a challenge here. Jaroszynski, I don't know if I pronounced that right, forgive me. Dino Jaroszynski, professor, Department of Physics, University of Strathclyde, Glasgow, Scotland. He said, we should always keep an open mind and question even the basic assumption, end of quote. Wow. Well, we're going to check the date, too. We're going to look at carbon dating as well. You know, we hear about things that are a million years old, right? You got to go, right? Well, recently, Cornell University reported in June 2018 that the radiocarbon dating system science has used to determine the age of animals, plants, soil, and other objects has a flaw. Well, the commonly assumed standards of radiocarbon dating, he says, are inaccurate. Apparently, there can be a fluctuation of the offsets when you're doing the carbon dating, and it affects the outcome. So the report did get published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science, and this is from Stuart Manning. He's an archaeologist. He says this. We went looking to test the assumptions behind the whole field of radiocarbon dating. The standards assumed that the radiocarbon levels are stable everywhere, all the time, across the globe. And we know from atmospheric measurements over the last 50 years that radiocarbon levels vary from year to year. This affects plants and affects where they grow, how they grow, in different times and in different parts of the world. So the variances will affect carbon dating and archaeological dating. So different regions, he says, will have different calibration curves for dating. Small offsets on dating can shift calendar dates and alter the history, end of quote. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Frank. I went to see out in Kentucky the Ark Encounter. You know, it's the replica of Noah's Ark. Fascinating. You should take the trip. It's great. In there, they were stating that when the earth was flooded with water, it's a lot of pressure. Water's heavy, creates a lot of pressure, and it compacts soil. You know, after it stirred it all up, it compacted it. And that was a fascinating thought. That, you know, that would throw off your carbon dating, wouldn't it? I would think. They also said, you know, the Grand Canyon probably was from Noah's flood. Well, all this water draining away super fast create carving out the rock, and the rock is soft anyway. So that's a possibility too. So anyway, we make a lot of assumptions, and sometimes we got to step back and say, wait a minute. Well, let's look at some other assumptions in science. Some of the other classic assumptions our medical science has made over the years that have been since corrected. Well, here's a few. Your tonsils are worthless blobs of tissue that have no function whatsoever, right? And how about your appendix is tissue with no attributing function to the digestive tract? Or you are born with all your brain cells, and once they die, they're not replaced. And how about this one? Your immune system can manufacture antibodies absent from a fever. Well, we have since learned that your tonsils are immune system glands which manufacture the antibody for polio. We've also learned your appendix is an immune system gland for your digestive system, and that appendicitis is caused by constipation blocking the appendix gland from secreting the solution. And your brain makes new brain cells, and it can actually reroute connections past damaged areas and can heal itself from trauma. And your immune system, which makes antibodies, is temperature specific and only makes antibodies when there is a fever of 101.3 Fahrenheit or higher. Let me read you a quote from John Weary, PhD, Deputy Editor, Journal of Leukocyte Biology. He says having a fever might be uncomfortable, but this research supports, as well as others, that having a fever is part of the effective immune response. Previously, scientific medicine thought that microbes that infect us simply create don't replicate as well when we have a fever. However, this new research suggests the immune system has enhanced function when we experience a fever. Well, yeah, Doc, you can't have antibody and you can't have your immune system defenses get you better without one. All right, let's also read the quote from Professor Chenfeng Chen, Shanghai Institute, Biochemistry and Cell Biology. He says, when the pathway is blocked, the mechanism is very temperature specific and is only induced at temperatures above 101.3 Fahrenheit. This explains how the fever mechanism is targeted, effective, and reversible. He's talking about when you take an aspirin or a Tylenol product to lower your fever. Blocks it. It blocks the antibody mechanism, and your fever comes down. So your immune system will normally come into play when your temperature is 101.3 Fahrenheit or higher. Most physicians do recommend lowering the fever if it's 102 with what? Medication, which cuts the immune system off from, you know, quickly eradicating the infection, which means you're sicker longer. And the assumption by medicine is you don't need a fever to get better, but you do. That was their assumption, but now they're getting back on track with that. All right, let's work out the bugs, because that's what we're doing. Because if we look back at one huge assumption made by science that was completely wrong, and that was the Earth is flat, right? New scientific treatments are kind of like computer programs. They have bugs in them. You got to work them out before you even want to consider using them. Seriously. Here is a quote from William Osler. Now, William Osler was a Canadian physician in the 1800s. He was one of the four founding fathers of Johns Hopkins Hospital. And he says this, the first duties of a physician is to educate the masses, not to take either fruits. You've heard that saying, because you get to know people by what they do and what they say. You also should know medical treatments by what they produce, short and long term. So you will know them by their fruits, and there is nothing hidden that won't be revealed. So Confucius knew that the strong plant-based medicines had bitter alkaloids. So medicinal herbs have highly compacted and chemically balanced sources of medicine. And ancient civilizations that used herbs for medicine knew the action by observation, and then this knowledge was passed down thousands of years. So it is really the original medicine, the longest use of medicine in existence. So when you think about the empirical history of herb use, it is a significant application for use, you know, hundreds, thousands of years. And most of the scientific medicine is really essentially a newbie on the block, learning to walk, also making assumptions along the way, and over 50% of the time faking their results. So keep that in mind. Get a medicinal mindset, because those who seek to use the herbs to promote health learn more than if they just popped a bunch of pills. So you'll learn how to read the body better, and soon you're able to determine which herb you'll need. So that power is available to everyone, and it's really a gift from the Creator. So if you want to learn to harness that power and be well, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a free product catalog they can send you. They specialize in the organ cleansing, immune boosting, and metabolic strengthening. You can give them a call on a toll-free number for the U.S. and Canada at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. You can visit their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless, because it puts the power back in your hands. That's right. And, you know, this is what really Lord's creation intended. And his promises are sure. Herbs are here for the serviceman and the healing of the nations. Says that from Genesis to Revelation, and God can't lie. So, and you know, have that faith. Gotta have that faith. Herbs are an awesome thing to have. And, you know, even medical science can't understand how they do what they do. Well, that's God's little secret. See, God's little secret. All right, we got a few minutes before we take a little break. So we're going to jumpstart this next segment. We're going to talk about your diet versus your drugs. Diet's everything, you know, for health. I mean, what we put in our body is real important. So basically, we tend to be at war, really, over health lately. If you look at the FDA, they're kind of the overseer of a lot of products out there for health, and they give approval also for things like food additives and preservatives and your prescription meds. But they're not involved in the testing of the foods and things like that. They're just the ones that have rubber stamped the research. Now, they also tend to want to be involved in approving spices and herbs. So there's a big difference, though, between the FDA's actual function and what the public thinks the FDA actually does. So the FDA does not test any product before it enters the market. It does not test food, spices, herbs, supplements, or drugs. The FDA is relying on the drug companies to test their products and to be truthful with their report. So it's on your honor kind of thing. So the FDA does rely on that. And drugs are not supplements and vice versa. However, there are efforts to try to cloud that issue. According to Gretchen Dubois, she's the executive director of the Alliance for the National Health, and she gave us this analogy when calling a supplement a drug. She says it's like calling monopoly money legal currency, which is a good analogy, really. So to make matters really worse, some of the officials, like the U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, she was sending out warnings to consumers about the dangers of some nutritional supplements, but she misguided consumers by stating the FDA does not test supplements for approval. Well, the truth is the FDA doesn't test anything for approval. So she was kind of misguiding people, saying, well, you know, why is that? Well, they don't test anything. So either Lynch is ignorant or she intentionally misled the public. But let's take a look at supplements here. There was this Harvard study. Oh, we're going to have to take a break in a minute. Okay, Harvard study. Alliance for Natural Health says the Harvard University did this study on the percentages of FDA-approved drugs and their health hazards. And according to the study, prescribed medications are responsible for 1.9 million hospitalizations, 2.74 million serious adverse reactions, 128,000 deaths annually. In comparison, Americans take about 60 billion doses of dietary supplements a year. The adverse reactions to supplements were minuscule, in which people, you know, fixed their supplements and other medications prescribed or over the counter. And for better or worse perspective, Gretchen Dubois says it. Oh, we got to take a break. I'll tell you what she says on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money-back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Talking about your diet versus drugs. And I want to read you this quote by Gretchen Dubois, executive director for the Alliance of Natural Health. She says, "You're five times more likely to be killed by a lightning strike. You're 581 times more likely to be killed in a boating accident. And you're 98,000 times more likely to be killed by an FDA approved and properly prescribed pharmaceutical drug than you would be by a dietary supplement." The bigger, more important picture, she says, is this. Despite some bad apples, the supplement industry still produces the safest products that humans ingest. End of quote. Woo woo. There you go. So this comparison is obvious. You know, the supplement industry manufactures one of the safest products Americans put into their body. If consumers are taking, you know, whole food supplements, they have zero fractionalized or synthetic versions in them, then the likelihood of adverse reaction is nearly zero. Zero. But, you know, so I have to say, I once was talking, Frank, on another station. I was a guest on Ernie Sanders' show. And I said, Pastor Sanders, I've never seen a death certificate that said death by supplement. I've seen death certificates that have mentioned that there was a heart attack or stroke or whatever that was caused by a drug. But they say the cause of death was heart attack or stroke, but precipitated by, and they list the drug. right? But I've never seen anything like that that said, hey, my vitamin supplement did that. Mm-mm. No death certificates. Well, let's look at some of the risks of the experts. There is this industry solely committed to evaluating risk, putting a price on that risk. You know, there, you get a statement from your car insurance company on what your auto insurance is going to be, all based on risk of where the car is garaged and all these little assessments that they make, and underwriters put a price on that. So risk has a price. So the need for malpractice insurance, that started in 1374 when medical malpractice became a very common occurrence in British courts, in which many, if not all, of the cases got dismissed. So malpractice law was supposed to handle the fraud, the neglect resulting in injury. A person was injured. So by 1794, so 5 years after President George Washington's inauguration, malpractice lawsuits were being heard in the U.S. courts, entering into under things like breach of contract. Now, according to the Journal of the American Medical Association, in 2000, they published a report said in 1997, the Journal of Common Health also reported on this. The word malpractice comes from the Latin term malapraxis, and it was coined by a British legal scholar, Sir William Blackstone, in 1765. So according to Sir Blackstone, the malpractice lawsuit is claiming a private wrong and is not considered a breach of contract. So it comes down to failure to do your job in a private capacity. So the medical malpractice insurance industry bases the grounds for damages off of the medical standards. So medical standards can be kind of like a cloak of protection for the medical professionals under those laws. So the premium rates, though, for physicians they pay for their malpractice insurance kind of varies from state to state and from specialty that they're operating under. So the physician group can actually influence the rates that they pay. But according to the malpractice network of insurance agents and underwriters, their premiums are going to be higher in a weak economy. So according to general rates and premiums, they can range anywhere from $20,000 to $200,000 a year for doctors, depending on their specialty or if they're like a surgeon. So general practitioners, they pay less. Their malpractice is, you know, under $7,000 a year. And as you would guess, surgeons are going to be sued more, much higher percentage than their general practitioners. So they're going to pay more. Now, chiropractors, they have malpractice, but their premium is very low because the underwriters say it depends on the risk of injury to the patient. So their malpractice premium's like $500 a year. It's nothing really compared to what medical doctors pay. So there's really no malpractice insurance for nutritional experts or herbalists because underwriters say nutrition therapy or food therapy has no risk. There's no underwritten risk to it. So when death certificates start showing up in droves stating death caused by herbs and supplements, then you're going to see insurance underwriting line up to cash in on that. But you're not going to see that. It'll be all fake if that happens. All right, let's take a poll. There were like 300 million Americans in the United States, and over half of them are taking supplements on a daily basis. And according to the poll by the Annals of Internal Medicine, they have been encouraging medical professionals to tell their patients to discourage them. Discourage your patients from using supplements as a way to preserve their health. So they state there is really no studies that are supporting vitamin and mineral nutritional work. They can't be serious. There's tons of research that support that. That's what I have to, the assumptions rule. They go and they throw whatever will stick up on the wall. Sort of like lawyers, you know, lie through your teeth. So there is a ton of research in which proves nutrition is the basis for good health. Dr. Andrew Saul was, well, he discussed no fewer than, I think, 19 studies that proved a strong correlation between supplement use and reduced risk of cardiovascular disease and even cancer. So the medical industry knows supplement nutrients positively affect function, and therefore they want doctors to say the opposite. Well, a 2013 Gallup poll showed that the higher a person is educated, you know, higher educated Americans is what they're saying, more of them use supplements. They also discovered that younger and younger Americans are taking supplements starting at age 18. So what kind of supplements are they taking? Well, they're taking mineral and protein and vitamin supplements. The poll also found 68% of senior citizens also are on supplements. 50% of people between 50 to 64 are on supplements. So the poll pointed out, hey, a lot of money at stake here on the supplement, the lifestyle side of Americans. One thing is for certain, nature seems to be on trial, doesn't it? I mean, you got GMOs, you got hybrids, you got all this stuff. Well, Andrew Saul, he was the editor of Orthomolecule Medicine News, and he said this: NBC supplement bashing headline article displays an ignorance of clinical nutrition that is difficult to ignore. Well, you know, look who is the sponsor of the World News Tonight stuff. You see all these drug commercials, don't you? All right, so here's a brief list of studies that were published in prominent medical journals showing scientific evidence supplements have a positive impact, improve, and even protect human health. JAMA 2012, multivitamin supplements were found to reduce cancer risk by 8%. The International Journal of Cancer 2011 said increase in serum vitamin D levels associated with a 15% reduction in colorectal cancer, incident of 11% reduction in breast cancer incidence. So vitamin D. Then JAMA in 2012 did another study on multivitamin supplements, and they found them to reduce cancer by 8%. American Journal also increase in vitamin C was associated with a 9% reduction in heart failure mortality. They estimated 216,000 lives could be spared each year just with vitamin C. The International Journal of Cancer, while NBC was declaring vitamin E does no good at preventing cancer or heart disease, their study said that vitamin E decreases prostate tumor formation by 75%. Ooh, big number. International Journal of Cancer 2008, vitamin E reduces lung cancer risk by 61%. So, I mean, the list goes on. Okay, so, you know, don't people making assumptions again. Nail them to the wall, you know. Go find out and nail them to the wall with their assumption. So when we eat a healthy diet, what are we doing? Frank, do you know what we're doing when we eat a healthy diet? Well, yeah, it's sort of like health insurance, but you're waging war against disease when you eat healthy diets, right? So an industry that supports treating disease, you know, like our modern medicine, all they do is manage your symptoms and treat your disease, like giving your disease a big lollipop, you know, give it a treat. They treat your disease all right. They don't limit your risk at all. But the thing is if they don't operate that way, they lose revenue. So a lot of misinformation, even lies, scientific fraud is there to protect their bottom line. Not surprising at all. So, now I mentioned this the other day, I'm going to say it one more time. In the Asian continents, they pay their physicians a few cents a day when they're well, but when they get sick, they quit paying their doctor. So over there, the incentive for your physicians is to keep patients well. The incentive in the West is to keep patients sick or give them the illusion of wellness. Right? Right. So to anyone who thinks the medical industry wouldn't do such a thing, well, I have to just say, open your Bible and read 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Why wouldn't they? they love money, they're going to do that. Now, if the tobacco industry can lie about the safety of their product, then so can the pharmaceutical and the medical industry. So then I would say, you know, ask yourself, your creator would want you to rely, would he really want you to rely on pharmaceutical drugs to be healthy or on the food he created in his medicinal plant? Right?
Right.
Right. Okay. So, and I remember that in the Gospels where Jesus was, you know, walking with his disciples through a throng of people, and he said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said, "We're like cattle in a barn. Everybody's here. What do you mean, who touched you? People are all over you." But he felt his power leave him when someone with faith touched the edge of his garment and said, "If I just touch it, I will be healed." And this was a woman who had a bleeding issue, and she gave all the money she had to the physicians and was still not well. What did Jesus say? He says, "By your faith, you are healed." Have faith in the Lord's medicinal plants. They're here for your service and healing. He says that. God can't lie. Now, I wonder why people, you know, settle for that black box warning on prescription drugs rather than, you know, hey, let me tap into something better like a lifestyle and medicinal herbs. If nature is going to continue to be on trial by the world, then I plan on being a witness for nature. So when we set all our physics and chemistry and biology aside, we really only have one choice, and that's to trust in God's creation and to seek him out, to seek what he created and for our bodies to thrive. So it's our job to have wisdom and discernment and to do our due diligence to protect the vessel God gave us to house the Holy Spirit, see? So we have to have wisdom and discernment. We are to judge. Otherwise, we wouldn't need to request wisdom and discernment if we didn't make judgment calls. Think about it. So when the Creator asks you one day what you did to protect the temple of the Holy Spirit, your body, from toxins, well, the only correct answer is everything I could. Only correct answer. Okay? Now, if you want to learn how to do that, call Apothecary Herbs, and they'll get you started to detox the system of impurities and things that invite disease and help you supercharge your system with nutrition to strengthen it metabolically. Cleanse and nourish, cleanse and nourish. Very basic, the Creator's way. And it works every time, and it puts power in your hands, and that's why the drug companies and the medical establishment don't like it. Well, call them and get a free catalog, 866-229-3663, or check them out at thepowerherbs.com. Okay, we got a few minutes, so we're going to check your cancer risk, global problem cancer. A lot of people get scared when they hear the diagnosis of you have cancer. The U.S. statistics are 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women get cancer at some point in their lives. According to the American Cancer Society, which prides itself on their role of informing a lot of people about cancer and its causes, they offer 6 major categories for cancer risk. Apparently, the other services to humanity the American Cancer Society offer is that they conduct epidemiological research on cancer for cancer to fund university labs and research. Environmentalists and so on. They advocate for a healthy environment. They sure do that. So let's find out what they are missing here. 6 categories you got for being a cancer risk. Genetics is on the list, as well as if you're a tobacco user, if your lifestyle and your diet and activity is poor, if you're in the sun a lot. If you're getting a lot of radiation, they say from your environment, puts you at higher risk, according to the American Cancer Society, for cancer. So the American Cancer Society does list a brief list of medical treatments that can cause cancer, like chemotherapy, radiation and immune system suppressing medicines. And these are treatments patients pay for them to treat various maladies and perhaps even cancer. So that's an interesting thought. They do mention substances that change DNA that cause carcinogens in the body. GM foods and vaccines were on the list as well. Now, in 2004, the federal government released their list of cancer-causing carcinogens, and the list title was Report on Carcinogens, or the ROC. And they publish this every 2 years, the National Institute of Environmental Health Science. And the report includes known or reasonably anticipated causes for cancer. The list had 246 cancer-causing agents and also, for the first time, listed viruses, hepatitis B and C, papillomaviruses as well. They also included in the list, for the first time, x-rays, lead compounds, grilled meats, textile dyes, paint, and ink. So when you read these government healthcare reports and you say, well, cancer is important, or is it important to them? I have to wonder what they're really saying is important. Where's the emphasis on important? So I think it's important to find out where their emphasis is. Well, let's just look real quick at this. Doing a little detective work. We're going to be like the Sherlock Holmes right now. This is on the American Cancer Society. In 1988, there was a professor of economics, George Mason. He was a professor of economics at George Mason University. His name was James Bennett. And he was checking out this charitable organization called the American Cancer Society. And according to him, they had a fund, a balance of over $400 million. Approximately $69 million was tied up in land, buildings, and equipment. And they spent $90 million, or 26% of their budget, on operating expenses, medical research, and programs. The rest of the money, $240 million, or 60% of the budget, went to salaries, pensions, executive benefits, and overhead. The next year, the holdings were $700 million, and American donations were about 6%, or $350 million, to their bottom line, supposedly to help fight cancer. Other donations came from large corporations, pharmaceutical companies, cancer drug companies, telecommunications, and, of course, entertainment industry. So who is on the board of the American Cancer Society? The heads of companies like laboratories that own pharmaceutical companies are on the board, biotech companies on the board, entertainment industry censors on the board, Boeing, Viacom, Inc., telecommunications on that board, and also a department store chain billionaire on the board of the American Cancer Society. So, yes, cancer is important, and it's going to remain that way because it's about money, isn't it? Remember, the next time you're asked to sponsor a walk for the cure or to schedule your routine mammogram, remember that. So let's get a list of drugs that the people's pharmacy say that are prescribed to Americans every year that have caused cancer in lab animals. So the FDA is not requiring cancer testing for these drugs at all. So hormone replacement therapy used for menopause offers a risk of breast and uterine cancers. Heartburn drugs, Prilosec, causes abdominal cell growth and stomach tumors. Blood pressure drugs prescribed for hormonal imbalance and facial hair growth in women causes tumors in rats. Dermatitis eczema topical prescriptions are associated with lymphoma skin cancer. And then cholesterol drugs. This is reported by the Journal of the American Medical Association, January 1996, that the statin drugs cause cancer in rats. All right, let's look at the statin drugs. Well, first, the cholesterol drugs like Viatrin causes cancer in test subjects. New England Journal of Medicine reported on that in September 2008. Statin drugs for cholesterol over the breast cancer risk as high as 143% in women. And that was in the Journal of Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers, and Prevention in 2013. And then for men, the statin drug for men offered elevated risk of prostate cancer And that was reported in the Journal of Prostate 2011. So the longer you are on the drugs, the higher your risk, according to chemist Shane Ellison. Also, Gardasil, the HP papilloma vaccine, is also on the list for being a cancer risk. It's supposed to prevent cancer, but apparently it causes premature menopause, destroys ovaries 3 years post-vaccination, causes cervical abnormalities, including cancer, within 4 or 5 years of getting the vaccination. Other vaccines that do cause cancer are the hepatitis vaccines. And don't forget your GM foods that cause DNA modification, offering cancer invitation to thrive. That's right. You know, they know foods. If you go from an unhealthy diet to a healthy diet, it changes your DNA in 6 days. That's how powerful your foods are. So if your foods are that powerful, think how powerful your medicinal plants are that are highly potent and packed full of nutrients and minerals and vitamins, alkaloids, photoalkaloids there, other nutrients. So if you thought like smoking and excessive sun exposure were the major cancer risks, you can see that that's just the tip of the iceberg. You have to investigate everything you use and you're exposed to. And don't take other people's word for anything because they assume. Just remember that. So this is why detoxification of the body is important, so the cells can function and you remove the metabolic blockages so the cells can communicate and function properly. Real important to know that. Also, Windsor Medical University, Quebec, Canada, 2012 found dandelion root kills all known cancer cells. Don't know what's in dandelion that does it. It doesn't hurt healthy cells, but it does kill the cancer cells. And they're trying to figure out what's in it. So they could make a drug, yes. But you have dandelion in the meantime. God's gift to you. There you go. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Get proactive and learn how to protect yourself. 866-229-3663. Because we are in a war on health. We are. We're in many wars, but on that one, we're on for sure. 866-229-3663, toll free in the U.S. and Canada. Thepowerherbs.com is the web address, so check that out. Lots of information there. If you're on the website, sign up for the free online newsletters that go out each week. You can get the American Survival in your email on Tuesdays, and you can get the HealthQuest newsletter in your email on Fridays. Now, this is only delivered by email. I do apologize. We do not have hard copies to mail out on snail mail. But if you do have email, this is a really great way to educate yourself and pick up things. Information is important. And it's information you're not going to get on the World News Tonight and in your usual magazines. This is proactive stuff that can save your life, so check it out, thepowerherbs.com. And I'm out of time, but I will be back next week. And, of course, if you have health topics you want me to include, feel free to email me or give me a call at 866-229-3663. We'll try to work it into the show. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, I wish you all to be well.